Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Joy comes to those who hope in God, for the Lord is a keeper of promises. Our God is a God of healing and hope. The Lord will reign forever. Our God will keep faith with all generations. Let us praise the Lord, both now and forevermore.
And if you would please rise.
Rejoice and let your heart sing. Come on, rejoice, give praise to the King. Come on, rejoice and let your heart sing. Come on, rejoice, give praise to the King. Sing alleluia, He is the Lord of lords. Sing alleluia, He'll reign forevermore. Come on, rejoice and let your heart sing. Come on, rejoice, give praise to the King. Come on, rejoice and let your heart sing. Come on, rejoice, give praise to the King. Sing alleluia, He is the Son of God. Sing alleluia, for us He shed His blood. Come on, rejoice and let your heart sing. Come on, rejoice, give praise to the King. Come on, rejoice and let your heart sing. Come on, rejoice, give praise to the King. Sing alleluia, He is the Prince of Peace. Sing alleluia, the joy will never cease. Singing alleluia, alleluia, alleluia to our King. Come on, rejoice, rejoice, give praise to the King. Come on, rejoice and let your heart sing. Come on, rejoice, give praise to the King.
Now we're going to sneak one extra song in here. When I sent the list of songs to Pastor Gary, he was sort of indicating, well, it should be a sort of a dancing mood today. And so after that last song, I just typed, "We Will Dance." What's the name of the next song?
Sing a song of celebration, lift up a shout of praise, for the bridegroom will come, the glorious one. And all who look on His face will go better place. Dance with all your might, lift up your hands and clap for joy, the time drawing near. When He will appear, and all who stand by His side, that are golden, the glorious bride and the great Son of Man, from every tongue and tribe and nation will join in the song of the Lamb. Sing a song of celebration, lift up a shout of praise, for the bridegroom will come. Much better place. stand by his side.
Does anyone have any guests that they would like to introduce this morning? Or anyone who would like to introduce themselves? If not, we'll move into some announcements from your bulletin. I'll just take time to highlight a few of them. First, I will get Pastor Gary to share one announcement.
Sure. There's an announcement I was supposed to put in the bulletin, and it slipped on me. Sorry, I'm getting old. Next Sunday at lunch, we'd like to invite anybody who's interested in talking about kids' clubs to stay for a brown bag lunch. Bring your lunch. We'd like to talk about, is it time for us to perhaps bring the boys and the girls' club together? So if you're interested in that dialogue, please plan to stay after lunch next Sunday, and we'll discuss that. Thanks.
And then I'd like to highlight announcement number 7, which is a thank you to everyone who signed up for Sunday school. They almost have enough teachers, just need 2 more teachers, but we do still need 100 prayer supporters, so I'm expecting you guys to sign up. I'd also like to highlight number 8, that the choir will be rehearsing for Thanksgiving and other special services between now and Christmas. Practices will continue on September 27th, October 4th. All are welcome. All singers are welcome. And also number 10, we're planning another musical Sunday for October 18th. Anyone interested in sharing their talents there should either get a hold of Jeff Zacharias or Betty Lowen. And then just a note that Pastor Gary will be away next week from the 21st to the 25th. And then I'd like to move into sharing time. I will share a couple things that are in the bulletin, and then Pastor Gary has a mic if you'd like to share. First, I'd like to share number 4 in the bulletin. Jordan and Chantel Colosimo are proud to announce the arrival of their twin boys, Leo and Luke, 7 weeks early on September 16th. They're doing well, but will be in the hospital for about a month. And then number 5, continue to keep Jorge and Darlene and their sons Matias and Manuel Hidalgo in your prayers as Manuel is going through cancer treatment. There's also a link down at the bottom to their YouCaring page if you want updates on how they're doing. It's also to raise funds for them so that they can support themselves while they're Manuel is going through these treatments, but that has already almost reached its goal, so great news there. And then our condolences go out to Eileen Clausen on the passing of her sister-in-law, Mary Pankratz, age 94, on September 16th. The funeral service will take place at Glen Eden Funeral Home at 10 a.m. on Monday the 21st, and further condolences also to Eileen and family and friends on the passing of Mary's youngest brother, Jake Clausen, age 75. We extend our sincere sympathies and pray for God's comfort upon all the families.
And just a quick note, today is Perrin's last day of work in Jasper, Alberta, and so she's a little sad ending that chapter of her summer. Hopefully not her life, but last chapter of her, or last day in Jasper. So please pray for her as she makes her way home later on this week. And then special prayers for wisdom and guidance for what comes next for her life. So thank you.
Does anyone else have anything they'd like to share? If not, let's move together to a time of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us. Come, Holy Breath, live in us. Come, Holy Wind, move through us. Where we are led by other impulses, we become slaves again, and our way of being is guided by fear. where we are guided by prejudice, fill us with love. Where we are guided by pessimism, fill us with joy. Where we are guided by misunderstanding, fill us with peace. Where we are guided by superficial quick fixes, guide us with patience. Where we are guided by self-interest, fill us with kindness. Where we are guided by apathy, fill us with goodness. Where we are guided by convenience, fill us with faithfulness. Where we are guided by complacency, fill us with meekness. Where we are guided by temptation, fill us with self-control. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us. Come, Holy Breath, live in us. Come, Holy Wind, move through us. Amen.
This is sort of another standing song. It's the closest we get to dancing.
Your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing pour out of, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Blessing you for our turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name.
Children would like to come to the front. Frau White has a children's story.
Good morning. How are you today? We are singing a lot of happy songs today, aren't we? That's because we're talking about something called joy. Now, first we want to talk about happy. What makes you guys happy? Put your hands up and I'll try and remember your names. Jasper, what makes you happy? Chocolate. Yes, he's a man after my own heart. What makes you happy? Playing peekaboo makes you happy. Awesome. Right, Jalen? Playing with friends. Okay, now we're going to talk about what makes you sad. Is there anything that makes you sad? Okay, I'll tell you some things that make me sad. Seeing people cry, and falling and hurting myself. And I do this a lot. I cut myself with a knife when I'm trying to make supper. Those are all things that make you sad. Happy and sad are moods. They're the way you feel. Today we're going to talk about joy. And joy isn't really a mood. Joy is what you feel even though you might be happy or sad. So I want you to think now to a time when you were sad. Maybe you fell and hurt your knee or you cut yourself. And then someone you loved came and gave you a hug or said, it's going to be okay. What'd that do? You still were feeling sad, but there was something else happening. Does anyone know? What else happens when someone you love gives you a hug and says, it's going to be okay? You feel kind of happy. It's joy. I'll give you the name for that. It's joy. Even though you're sad, deep in your heart, you know it's going to be okay because the person that loves you said it would. And who do you think we come to church to learn about that will help us feel that way? Nadia. God and Jesus, exactly. So, happy and sad are moods. Joy is deeper. When we believe in Jesus, that's what he gives us. And there's a verse that says, I love you even as the Father has loved me. This is Jesus talking. Stay in my love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with joy. Your joy will overflow. Does that mean nothing bad will ever happen to you? No. But when something bad happens, you can still have the joy in your heart because you know Jesus loves you. So let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that you love your Son and that your Son loves us. Help us to remain in his love so that we will be filled with joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, something different is happening. Mr. Jeff is standing up there. He wants you to help him sing a song, so you guys have to stand up. And we're going to do a song with action.
Yes. It's not dancing.
It's not dancing.
It's a song with action. No, you can come up. Congregate down in front of us here. And you all know this because this is one we do at Sunday school all the time. Glory, hallelujah, jubilee. And, no, I won't ask you to stand for this one, too. Well, he picked me up, turned me round, set my feet on high ground. Glory, hallelujah, jubilee. He gives me peace, gives me joy, this soul world cannot destroy. Glory, hallelujah, jubilee. Make sure you got enough room. All my life was filled with sorrow, there was not a bright tomorrow. Days were dark as night, the light I could not see. Since he came for me, I'm singing, such a melody is ringing. Glory, hallelujah, jubilee. And we want to hear the yahoos in the middle there, okay? Well, he picked me up, turned me around. Since he came for me, I'm singing, such a melody is ringing, glory, hallelujah, jubilee. And what does Keely say now? Where is she?
Sit there.
Right? She's not saying it. You've got to say faster. Thank you. You may go sit with your parents. And I hope you're all sweaty.
And now during this song, we will collect the offering.
I don't know if this was done on purpose or not, but it seems like I get to sing lots today. I'm sorry, we get to sing lots today.
Sunset sky, but my one request. 'cause you mean more to me than any earthly thing. So won't you reign in me again, Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams in my darkest hour. You are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again, Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams in my darkest hour. You are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again.
Wonderful singing. Thank you. For the past year, we have been dreaming about developing a new position here. And we finally called it Pastor of Faith Development. And we're really excited about what this might look like. As we were looking for a person to fill this position, we are looking for a person who would help fill it out and see what it looks like. And so we are very happy to have Tim Wenger on board to do that. I'd like to invite Tim to come up. Welcome here, Tim and Stephanie. I'd like to have Tim come up and say a little bit about what this might look like, if you would, Tim. While he's coming up, While he's coming up, I'd just like to say that when Carol and I came almost 2 years ago now, you people did a fabulous job of making us feel at home. I'd like to encourage you to do the same thing with Tim and Stephanie.
Hello. Thank you for welcoming myself and Stephanie into your midst. I started on Tuesday, and I am 17. I do need to beg your forgiveness. It would take me a while to learn all of your names. Please bear with me. Some of you might be wondering exactly what a pastor of faith development does. I'm here to partner with the volunteers that run our children, youth, and young adult programs and find ways of encouraging connections between members of various generations. I'm very thankful for the work that people like the youth sponsors and Shauna and Chris have already done putting together a great program. It's very nice to be able to join something that's already working. If you have any ideas of how we can make connections between generations, I'd like to hear it. We're looking at doing some service projects and with the youth, as well as a baking night at some point, so I'd love to share some recipes with you, or for you to share recipes with us. I'm very pleased and excited for the things that we've already began to plan. I'm pleased to announce to the youth that we will begin meeting this week, 7:30 on Wednesday. We will get to know each other and talk about the upcoming year. My schedule is still firming up, but I will be in the office every Tuesday. Feel free to drop by and introduce yourself. Coffee is ever flowing here, and I'd love to share a cup with you. Speaking of integrating young people into the life of the congregation, Mackenzie, would you please come up and read the scriptures for today?
Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you.
Thanks, Mackenzie. You will have noticed also today that we had shorter greeters and ushers than we typically have. Shauna has been working hard at the once a month that we're going to have the children with us in the service, which is typically Praise and Worship Sunday. You're going to see the Sunday school children involved in many ways, so look forward to seeing that. So thanks for the work you put into that, Shauna. I'd like to invite you to bow with me as we pray before we take a look at this passage. Thank you, God, that you are a celebrative God, that you place within us a joy that we heard about during the Sunday school story, or the children's story, rather. Thank you for the way that you invite us honestly through life, but that the end is not a sour note, but one of celebration. Amen. Last week we started, we want to spend 4 weeks talking about the fruit of the Spirit. What we're really talking about, what it looks like to follow Jesus, and we're using Paul's material in Galatians chapter 5. For the first Sunday, I actually sent a note to Leanna, and I said, put the last verses of chapter 6 of Galatians in there. And she called me in the office and said, are you sure you want this? You might want to look that up sometime. Anyhow, Galatians chapter 5. Paul talks in this, just a real short recap of last week. Paul talked in there, he said there's three forces at work here. Number one is us. God has created us in God's image, and we want to follow the way of God because that is the way of wholeness and life and celebration. The second one, and Paul uses the term flesh, and what he means by that is there's a power or a force that pulls us in the other direction. It's the kind of thing that makes us selfish, self-centered, angry, bitter, and all those other wonderful things that we learn about all too often. The third force he talks about is the Holy Spirit. When we become Christians, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit pulls in the other direction and says, no, we can do this. You can be the person God called you to be. You can be the person you long to be. We talked also about the first fruit in this passage, which is love. Well, we kind of said love encompasses everything. And we said love is a bit of a contradiction. The theme of Galatians is freedom. And God says, I want to free you to experience God's love. The love that was shown through Jesus. I want you to know what it's like to truly be loved in an unconditional way. And we celebrate that. And then he said, and now I want to free you to use that kind of love for others. And you know what the love looks like? Service. We are freed to serve each other. Don't you love that? Today we want to talk about the next two. The gifts, or the fruit of the Spirit rather, comes in triads, in three. So we'll finish up the triad from last week. We want to talk about joy and peace, mostly about joy. I'm sorry, I'm getting to talk about as fast as you were singing. I'll try and slow down a little bit. First of all, it's important for us to determine what joy and peace mean. And thank you, Frau White, for that good introduction. Right on the money. Happiness is a response to the stimulation around us. You get a car, you get married, you have a baby, you ace an exam, you are happy. If you smash up your car, go bankrupt, flunk out of school, or if you're the woman you love very much throws your wallet in the wash one more time, it's amazing, the stuff in there didn't survive, but the wallet, four times around, it's still going, then you are sad. I'm not bringing any names into this. Apparently I'm a big boy, I can take my own wallet out of my pocket. Well, suffice it to say, I have some clean money. Where were we? Ah, yes, happiness and joy. Joy, as Ingrid mentioned, is something much, much deeper. There was a fascinating article in Psychology Today, I think it was December 18th, 2012, and there's an article called Joy Versus Happiness. Not a Christian article, but she says, the author says the same thing. Happiness is a response to what's going on. Joy, she said, and I found this interesting, digs down to our spiritual roots. Isn't that interesting? What the Bible says is that joy is something that's rooted in our relationship with God. So no matter what happens, we can, as we heard in this children's story, no matter what happens, we can experience joy. In the Old Testament, people experienced joy of the joy of God through God's faithfulness and covenant. And they responded with obedience, and we read the book of Psalms, right? We worked on it all summer. Amazing celebration that goes on there. Psalms like Psalm 144, verse 5, which talks about how the joy of God is so important in our lives, or Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is our strength. In the New Testament, we see God's joy coming to us through the love that we find in Jesus' life and death, and also through the Holy Spirit. And we have this deep sense of joy that comes to us that is much deeper than anything we go through. In fact, there's an interesting development. We see it especially in the book of James, chapter 1, where he says, consider it all joy when you go through trials and tribulations. And it's more than just that our joy can weather that. Okay, hunker down, guys, we're going through hard times. Did your joy make it? Yep, all right. It's different than that. What he's saying is that we experience joy as we go through hard times. And part of what that means is when we go through hard times, all the happiness stuff's peeled away. You got nothing left. And what do? We find out that we've got roots that go deep down and that we do, in fact, have a sense of joy there. When you take a look at the people who have suffered for their faith, amazing the way they're happy in the midst of suffering. He said, what's the matter with you people? Do you not know a lion is coming to eat you? And yet they experience a sense of joy. Peace is also different than we expect that it is. We often think of peace as as no conflict. So when there's two countries that aren't fighting, they're at peace. Sort of like when you're traveling with your family in a car. You're driving along, and about the third day somewhere, things get crazy back there. And so you start getting a little verbal up front and say, can we quiet down back there? We need a little peace. And what we need is nothing. We want quiet and silence. I had a chuckle at our kids that there was one point in which they were not only territorial about the seat, they were territorial about airspace. They had sovereign airspace in the back seat. And the one in the middle was not allowed to look out the side window because they were looking through the other person's space. There you go, sovereign airspace. Where were we? Oh yes, peace. The understanding of peace in our world is that there's no conflict. The understanding of peace as Christians is very different. Two parts to that. The first part is when we become Christians and we experience the peace of God, that's a peace that is beyond our understanding, as the text goes. It's amazing. We have a sense of peace even when we go through terrible, difficult times, just like the joy we talked about. Regardless of the circumstances, that peace of God is there. As I've talked to many of you who have come out of Russia, and you've had stories that just keep me awake at night as I think about them, I listen to the story and hear that in the midst of those, for all the loss, for all the pain, there was a sense of God's presence and peace. It's just amazing. The second part of that is we recognize that just because there's no conflict around us doesn't mean there's peace. We live in a world that does not experience peace. We get up in the morning, we have enough money to have food for breakfast, we can go on a holiday once in a while, you can get a cottage if that's what works for you. Whatever is important to us, pretty much we can figure out how to do that. But as followers of Jesus, we look at the larger world. And if you've been watching the news lately, you've seen that there's not peace everywhere. You've seen the stories of the people coming, the refugees coming out of Syria. Some of them are very, very disturbing. And we watch that and we say, that's our world. That's our world. We recognize that as long as there is racism, as long as there is abuse, as long as people are treated without respect the way that God intended them to be treated, peace is missing. And our job as people of peace is to proclaim the peace of Christ, not just a peace that changes hearts, although that's terribly important, but a peace that also addresses the broken summer world. This may be telling tales out of school, but church council just starting to think about what would it look like if we were to sponsor a refugee. We need to have that dialogue. And again, we're not saying we are. We're just starting to look at what that would mean. It's an important thing. Okay, so we begin with a bit of a definition of joy and peace. But what we really want to know is, how do we implement those in our lives? The text that Mackenzie read suggested that we should work at it. Bit of a problem here. Remember last week we suggested that fruit trees don't squeeze out fruit? It just happens. An apple tree doesn't it pops an apple. It's an apple tree. And gets the proper water and everything it needs, out comes apples, right? So we're Christians, we have the Holy Spirit, the fruit just comes, so what are we talking about? So, you want me to have love? Give it to me already, right? But there is, as I was thinking about the analogy of fruit and trees and so forth, I realized there's something that we can do. You all know what these are. Pruning shears. I got them from JK's. They're nasty sharp. Cut your finger off in half a second. I don't know much about pruning. In 1987, we moved to Saskatoon. Fresh out of seminary, had a shiny new degree, 3 children, a big smile, and some debt. That's all. So we scrimped and saved and finally got a down payment for a house, and then we saved our pennies and beautified our yard. We bought 6 trees in the backyard. Spindly little things, but we were so proud of them. A friend of ours came over to visit. We were visiting in the backyard. He owned a tree nursery. I was called into the house for a phone call, came back. Half the branches from my tree are laying on the ground. And there stands Vic with his pruning shears. I said, "Vic, what did you do?" And he said, "I thought you wanted these to turn into trees." I said, "Yes, but you're wrecking my trees." He says, "If you want them to grow into trees, you need to be pruned." And you know what? He was right. And they turned into amazing, beautiful trees, which we had difficulty leaving behind. It would have been even more difficult to bring them along, but it's another story. If you ever look at a fruit tree, they are really not a thing of beauty. They look mangled. Branches have been cut off here and there, and they're really ugly things, but boy, do they produce fruit. And my understanding is that everything that's a part of the tree that does not help make fruit grow gets cut off. That's pruning. So I got to thinking, well, now, if we have the fruit of the Spirit growing out of us, maybe there's some pruning needs to happen in our life. And I probably should make that more personal, this pruning that I need to do in my life. I'd like to mention a few things that I think we can work at pruning in our lives, in my life, and I'll leave it a little open-ended because I'm sure that there are things in your life that will come to mind to you that you need to work at as well so that we can produce the fruit of joy and peace. The first one is going to sound a little strange. Let me just back up a second. The last week or two, I've been talking to people here in the congregation, to some of you, and I've been asking you the question, what is it that you need to do to experience joy? And I've gotten some really excellent responses. And so I've kind of worked those into what I'm telling you today because they made sense to me as well. The first thing that needs to be pruned is unfulfilled expectations. Let me explain. We grow up with hopes and dreams, and they turn into expectations. This is what I expect out of life. And as we go through our life and they are not fulfilled, it gets frustrating. We didn't get the promotion that we deserved at work. Our kids didn't turn out quite the way we thought they would. We're in a marriage, and, you know, when we were kids, we thought it was going to be just this thing that glowed. But it's not. We thought we would be wealthy, and it goes on and on. We have these unfulfilled expectations. So what happens when we're sitting there thinking that life has ripped us off? What does that do for us? Makes us full of joy, right? Makes us bitter and angry is what it makes us. Story in Genesis 37, story of Joseph's brothers. Joseph had 11 brothers, 10 older from one mother, and younger ones from him and his brother Benjamin from another. And so Joseph is staying at home playing Lego and so forth, and his brothers are out working, making money for their dad. And so they think he's a bit of a spoiled brat to start with, and then he has these dreams, and it sounds to them like he thinks he's better. And then his dad gives him a favorite coat. I mean, things are starting to stack up not the right way. His brothers or their brothers are thinking, hey, we're going to get ahead. Dad's going to think we're special now. So they get really ticked off. And what do with their unfulfilled expectations? Sell their brother. All of us have thought about this. Not very many of us do that. And so they sell their brother. Turns out it doesn't bring them joy. It brought them regret and guilt. As I chatted with this person about this, they said, I realized the only thing I can change is me. Makes sense, doesn't it? The only thing I can change is me. Finally, we need to be content. We need to take a look at life, and I'm not saying we need to flush our dreams or anything like that, but we need to be content where we are to experience the joy in what God has given us. Look around you. Amidst all the unfulfilled expectations, there's a lot of wonderful things, a lot of wonderful relationships, a lot of things that we're doing in our life that we never knew we would do. What we need to do, what I need to do, is reach up. I can justify this stuff. I can justify why I should hang on to those things. I need to clip them off to experience the joy of God. The second one is holding grudges. Now, you're not that kind of people, right? But once in a while, you maybe know someone who was wrong. Somebody did something wrong. Maybe they embarrassed us in public, maybe even in church. Maybe we expected to get something that they ended up with in our family. Maybe our financial advisor ripped us off, took off with the money, and left us with nothing. Lots of things happen in life which aren't fair, and we have a right to be ticked off. But what happens with those? In Luke 15, the story of the prodigal son, look at the older brother. He had every reason to be mad. His younger brother took off, left the farm, left him with all the work. Pulled off half the assets of a farm, so they've got to struggle like crazy to make this thing go. They haven't got time for any, you know, special things like going to Hawaii. He's just put your head down and work. Then the brat comes home. And what does his dad do? He knows what he would do. He would haul the kid into the corner, give him a tongue lashing if that's all he got, and send him on his way and say, don't you ever show your face around here again. What does dad do? Gives him a party. This guy has a reason to be ticked. But look what happens in the midst of it all. He owns the whole farm. The younger son's lost it. And by being bitter and by pulling back, he loses out on the joy of relationship. His brother was acting inappropriately. But now he's lost relationship with his brother and his father. And he's become bitter. We need to find forgiveness in our life, even when the other person doesn't deserve it. We need to let go of those branches. We need to get rid of them. The third one you're going to find interesting. In fact, I had to reach back into my evangelical roots to find language for this. And that is, we need to trim off unresolved sins. There are things in our life that some of us get to doing that we know aren't right. Maybe we have an attitude where we look down on people of a particular gender or age or race or nationality or religion or whatever it might be. And we've decided that we work hard and we were here first and it's okay. We know it's not okay. Maybe we play a little fast and loose with finances, with the government, with our family, with our workers, and we think, I deserve it. I deserve more than I get. Come on. Maybe it's been an indiscretion in relationships. We've done things with people we shouldn't have done things with. David and Bathsheba. David's on the roof, reading Canadian Tire Fire. And he looks over and there's Bathsheba and he thinks, we haven't had coffee for a long time. So he calls her up and says, hey, Bathsheba, how about coffee? She says, sure. And she comes over. They have more than coffee. And so he's got this on his conscience. He's thinking, now what do I do about this? She's got a husband. What if? So long short of it is, you know the story. He has Bathsheba's husband. Well, now he's got that on his conscience. And so then he marries Bathsheba. And I'm sure other people say, what a nice king. This guy died in the army. What would his wife do? And the king married her. How kind is he? He knew better. And if you read Psalm 51, you see the psalm where David pours this out, where he finally says, I can't do this anymore. I've done wrong. I'm holding on to it. I need to confess this. I need to deal with this. Verse 12 of Psalm 51. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. And to get that restored, he needed to come clean before God. Stuff in his life he knew he needed to deal with. That's an interesting one, because when we have stuff in our life, we pretty much always can justify it. Well, no, it's not what it looks like. Let me explain to you. Maybe it is what it looks like. And maybe instead of explaining it, we need to own it. Cut it off. Just mention a few more briefly. Another one is being self-serving in everything. I understand we have to look after ourselves. We have to watch our time. We have to be good with our money. And we deserve things. We deserve to have time off. We deserve to have holidays. We deserve to have nice things. That's all good. But there's a point at which everything about our life is about us. Interesting story in Luke chapter 16. Remember the parable of the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man has everything. Lazarus is a poor guy, bottom of the driveway, all sick, dogs are licking him. Now, the rich man isn't overtly nasty. He doesn't try and hit him with his car when he goes. He doesn't phone the trash man and say, can you take out the beggar with the trash next time you come? You know, he doesn't holler obscenities at him. He just ignores it. Not okay. Because the rich man's life is all about the rich man. Now, here's an interesting thing. When we go back and look at the character of God, the character of God is always about caring for people. The rule of, or the law of Jubilee, or the Jubilee year, the Sabbath year, the 7th or 49th year, whatever. When people hit the reset button and they start again, debts were forgiven, slaves were freed, everything came back to them. Or if we say, take a look at Deuteronomy 17, the poor you'll always have, and we say, so what's the point? Passage says that poor you will always have, so you never run out of good things to do. Jesus, Luke 14, 17 and 18, his job description, which comes from Isaiah, I think it's chapter 16. Jesus has come to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, and so forth. When we care for and serve the needy, we are doing the work of God, and in the process, we experience joy. There are so many other things to be added, but I want you to think about what are the things in your life that have been growing there that don't bring joy. In fact, they're suckers that drain off the energy which would bring joy, both the joy that you experience and the joy that God would like to work through you in the world. Isaiah 55, a fascinating passage. It starts by talking about how are you thirsty? Come and drink at no cost. And it talks about what God would give us. Down in verse, near the end of the passage, I can't remember exactly the verse, I think it's 12. He says, you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills are going to sing. And the trees are going to clap their hands. Nature is showing us what God longs for us. God longs for us to experience his joy, so that we can be people who dance, and so that we can extend that joy to the world. May you experience in your life the joy that God longs for all of us to experience in our lives.
Amen. Listen to our prayer. To our prayer. Oh Lord our God, we know you are near. Lend us your ear, hear our plea.
Yahweh,
can you hear our cry?
Yahweh,
Yahweh, can you hear our cry? Lead us
I'd like to just make two quick notes. Just a reminder to everyone that after the service, we're having a congregational meeting about the Constitution. So if you'd like to stay for that, please do. And also after that, the Baby Boomers group is getting together for a lunch, and they're meeting here. And they're going to Fraser's Grove Park. May God bless you and keep you. May the very face of God shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God's presence embrace you and give you peace.
If you would please rise for the reading.
As we go, we go in peace. By spreading love, the fights will cease. We will act on what we learn. As we go in peace. By spreading love, the fights will cease. We will act on what we learn. What can we do to heal the broken? What can we do to feed the hungry? Follow the path that Jesus showed us, Prince of Peace, Prince of Peace. We have all the tools we need. Fill us, God. We will love.